Welcome to the Everyday Game Changers podcast. You will hear from everyday people in business, music, community, and more who are changing the game. And now your host, marketing expert, and personal branding specialist, Varian McQueen.
Welcome to another episode of the Everyday Game Changers podcast. I'm your host, Varian McQueen, and we're speaking with people who are changing the game every day in business, music, community, whatever. And I got a guest that she got a star-studded list of accolades of people she's worked with, from Meek Mills, Tory Lanez, Nipsey Hussle, Wale, French, Jeezy, the list goes on. I'm gonna let her really dive in to her list of credits. Miss Sarah J, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you doing? Thanks for having me.
I'm doing good. I think for me, I really kind of want to, your story is, I haven't really heard kind of in detail how you really got into it, but I really want you to give us a little background on how you even narrowed in on this niche, because I think this is super important that you really focus on the producers, not really specifically. You build the relationships with the artists, of course, but really helping producers kind of getting their foot in the game. So were you an A&R at a label first, or you just kind of just got into it?
Yeah, no, I went the whole independent route the whole entire time. Honestly, I really started with MySpace. You remember MySpace back in the day?
Okay. Yeah.
So I really just networked crazy on there. I would just cold call people, reach out to different A&Rs and different managers, artists. I'd hit them in the DM, you know, and ask them where I could send beats. Now, at that time, we weren't really using MP3 so much. So I would actually just send links, or I would FedEx beat CDs to the labels. So I spent a bunch of money, you know, just FedExing stuff overnight to these labels, Shady Records, Columbia, Bad Boy, all these record labels from back in the day, just trying to get these beats heard. I would find producers on MySpace, build relationships with them as well as the artists too. But once I started sending, you know, beat CDs to these labels, I felt like sometimes I would get the runaround. So that's when I started traveling back and forth from New York to LA, sitting down with these A&Rs, you know, all the older A&Rs from back in the day, the Lenny S's and Riggs and people like that. Building the relationships to the point where I was setting up music conferences and showcases and panels when that was really big back in the day. So, you know, kind of putting bread in their pocket, them putting bread in my pocket, building the relationship so I didn't have to chase so much. You know, I was just getting placements that way. I would get a bunch of placements on mixtapes like old Jim Jones, G-Unit, Fab.
The good old days.
Yeah. A lot of mixtape stuff that would go to Dat Piff and live mixtapes when that shit was popping. And then it just turned into album work over the years. You know, people would hear my name, that I had beats and all that kind of shit. I started managing more producers, and shit just really picked up.
So let me ask you, did you never want to be an A&R?
I didn't aspire to be one. No, okay. I didn't even know what the term A&R meant. It stands for artist repertoire. I didn't even know.
I asked that because I'm like, if I'm a record label, I would just get Sarah J on my label and then I'm good. Like, she got an ear for the music. But I guess, you know what I mean, you can control who you work with now going your route. Anyway, so I saw in another podcast where you referenced like one of your first records. What's your biggest record you've ever placed as far as like numbers?
Probably anything with Tory. I've been on all his albums. The Jim Jones Burgang Money record. Kill Jill with that was Big Boy and Jeezy and Killer Mike's record that plays all the time when I'm in the car. G-Unit for 50 and them. I did Changes, their single. I have a Meek record coming out with her. I have a lot of stuff coming out. I have a new record coming out with Young Thug's brother featuring Black Youngster. So I'm working on a gang of shit right now.
I'm probably really great showing my age, right? So, like, when it came to, like, resources for producers, so I'm originally from Delaware before I came to Miami. And I used to go to the iStandard showcases in Philly.
Okay.
That was, like, the if you was a producer, you go to this iStandard showcase. I mean, I've met, now that I know these artists now, but like Cardiac, like a lot of these guys, I met them through the iStandard.
You probably know Charlie Heath then.
Yeah, Charlie Heath. He used to work at the Foot Locker.
Okay, okay. See,
Christiana Mall before I knew who Charlie Heath was.
Right.
Before the Kanye stuff. So it's, I mean, from Delaware, we got a really, you know, Ben Billions is from Delaware. Sap, the beat man, is from Delaware. Star, she's more a songwriter though. And then Derek Milano from Delaware. So it's a lot of people popped off after I left there or was already established.
You got Bully and Jahlil from Chester.
Yeah. Beat Bully, I used to see him running around out here in Miami. I don't know if he's still out here, but I know Jahlil and Sap and them are related somehow, so I always seen those guys together. But that's super, such a small world. So, like, I'm gonna ask a couple of the questions some people ask me to ask you, especially with regards to one of these questions was about how do you go about getting records placed in music videos and in movies? Like, is that just somebody like you, you know, pitching as far as syncing things, or how does that work?
Yeah, so that would be considered sync licensing. So anything sample free, all original, you know, royalty free, obviously, a lot of these producers that submit for that would get their stuff from Splice or Tracklib or whatever. And it has to be sample free, though, because these companies do not play. They will actually run your music through this decoder thing to see is it for real sample free. So if you guys have stuff in that lane, you can always send it to me and just put in the header, you know, sync licensing movie stuff, and then I will spread it around. I have placed stuff on ESPN, First Take, Love and Hip Hop, different shows. But like I said, you just want to have it sample free. I always tell producers, make sure that you go to these BMI and ASCAP expos. This is where you're going to bump into the music supervisors if you're interested in building the relationships in person with these guys.
So that's like, I'm glad you brought up Splice, right? I seen a post that you put about sampling and loops is cheating. So talk to me a little bit, because I know Splice is huge now, right? So you don't really have to do anything. You get you a nice loop and you throw some drums to it. What's that process like if you're trying to place a record that has these like third party samples or loops? How does that work?
I love samples. I mean, 90% of what you hear on the radio has a sample in it. I mean, some people just replay their stuff, but if it's something that's clearable, it's going to get clear. But if it's something like the OGs, like, you know, Whitney Houston, Michael Jackson, Sade, Isley Brothers, it's going to be really hard to clear. So I just recommend don't send me any, you know, with those, you know, greats.
Big time stuff. That's never, yeah.
A lot of stuff from like SoundCloud artists that's really easy to clear, you know, just
okay.
Yeah.
So the Splice stuff, that's royalty free that you can just use, right? So you don't have to worry about clearing when you use those samples.
Absolutely. Yeah.
There you go. That was a question I had. So that you already answered that. So at what stage in like a producer's career do you think they actually like need management? Like I've run across artists, producers, everybody feels like they need a manager. And I'm like, are you giving a manager something to manage, right? So at what point do you think a producer should be talking about management?
I think a producer needs management when you have so much going on, when your phone is ringing off the hook, when you have placements and you can no longer manage yourself. If you don't have any of that and you're just starting in the game, like I just think that you should just get your feet wet on your own, try to learn as much as you can as possible, research everything in the game so that nobody takes advantage of you. You know what I mean? You can also book a consultation with me too. But basically just get your feet wet. Just learn everything that you need to learn about the production game, the business side, you know, start reaching out to different attorneys, like entertainment attorneys. So when you need that you have that cover, but I don't really think that you need a manager in order to get placements, or you know, you need a manager to get you in these doors. Like you can book your own studio sessions, you can build your own relationships, can learn about contracts. Like you don't really need a manager, like I said, until you have so much going on.
Gotcha. So like when we talk about getting records placed, right? Clearly you got like a I guess you got to really kind of have your ear to the streets, because you got to know who's the next artist to kind of pop to probably pitch, right? So that's forever changing. How do you find new talent?
That's a good question. I'm in the car a lot, so I'm always listening to XM radio where they're always playing new shit. I like XM better than Clear Channel because I get to hear all the new artists, you know? So if there's somebody I haven't heard of before and I like them, I'll reach out to them via DM, or this business is so small, I just end up knowing one of their managers or engineers, right, and getting them beats. But then also like my colleagues, other A&R friends or other friends, producers, friends, they'll hit me and say, have you heard of this person? Have you heard? So the more I hear, if I hear somebody like 3-4 times, I'm going to research who that person is so I can get them beats. So I'm always doing my research on artists.
That's dope. So I wanted to like ask you, I know like the process for like getting records to artists has really changed. And then more like, I remember to a point where artists didn't even want beats. Like if you sent something, it had to have a hook already on it. You had to have a reference. Like they want records. Do you see a shift in that? Is it still like that? Like, yo, send me the reference record rather than just the beats. I don't want to listen to the beat. I want a hit record ready.
Yeah, it really depends who it is. Like Hitmaker, Tory, Meek, a lot of these guys write their own stuff, so they don't want any references. So just kind of working with these people over the years, you kind of know who are the writers and who accepts stuff with references. A lot of R&B singers don't write their own stuff, so then I'll send them R&B hooks and full references and things like that. But most people just want instrumentals, so I'm just sifting through tracks all day, just kind of moving beats around to who I hear on what, you know.
Did you put like... So say, I'm sure you get inundated with records and beats to listen to. Like, do you just, as you just listening, you're like, oh man, I think I know somebody who will sound good on that. I just put that aside and then just create a little pack for, is that how you do it?
Yeah, exactly. Like when I'm shopping beats, like I'm literally shopping stuff to like 30, 40 different dudes at one time. You know, whoever I hear on whatever, like I'm just shooting it out there. You know, I do not bother these artists. Did you listen yet? Did you listen? Because they don't like buggy people. Like I don't like that either when someone hits me constantly like, did you listen? You know, you need to just like create, dump the music off, plant your seeds and just keep it moving, you know.
I think that's the hardest thing for producers, is like, it's like you giving your babies out, right? And you like, does anybody want my baby? Like, or do I go to another artist? And because that's always the waiting game. Like I've had records placed.
Mm-hmm.
I think like my first record was and this probably was maybe mixtapes. This was a Cassidy record. And then like years later, I did a record for Ace Hood, but it was just like, I did the record like 2-3 years before it even, I'm like, to me, the sound is outdated. So I'm just like, right, I'm way better. Why would he finally do something to that record now? But I think that's the toughest thing for the producers, like the waiting game. It's just especially after you hear it. Like if the artist call you, be like, yo, I did something to that beat and you heard it, you're like, oh my God, when are you gonna put it out? When are you gonna put it?
I really want to hear it. I know. And that's the thing. It's like when you create, it's like you want feedback on your records, whether it's from the artist or the manager, whoever. And I always tell these producers, like, these artists don't give me feedback. Like they're just like, hey, sir, I'm gonna use this beat. I laid something to it last night. Who's the producer? And then I go find the producer. But they don't say, like, I like this, take this out, tweak this, beef up the drums. Like they don't really do that, you know.
What, so I see a lot of things where a lot of producers and engineers aren't getting credit on these projects. Like whose job is that to make sure when they in these sessions or these split sheets are happening, who's supposed to handle making sure that these producers are properly credited?
That's a really good question, and that's been, I feel like, a problem over the years, is producers not getting their just due and their proper credit. Because as an up and coming producer, your credit is everything. You know, you need this for exposure. You need this to just put on your discography and carry the name out. I think as a collective, it's everybody's job to be professional and turn in split sheets to make sure that you have the producer spelling of their name correct. Make sure that everybody's credited, the producer, the engineer, everybody that worked on the record, you know. And yeah, that comes from communication with the producer, with the management, with the artist team, with the publicist. I mean, everybody should be held accountable, honestly, for that, because there's been instances where somebody just slaps my name on a record and says produced by Sarah J, it's like, no, I don't want to be a producer. I don't want to take your credit. You know what I mean? It's like, it's just not right. And that comes from lack of communication. You know, we really need to communicate better with everyone.
So how does that work? Like with you, because you pretty much facilitating the whole process, right? You got the relationship with the artist and you got the relationship with the producer. So what does that put your title kind of is more like an executive producer or like how are you credited for your work?
Yeah, I just say producer management A&R over the years. I help out with administration of paperwork when I help a producer get a placement so that they learn how to do the split sheets and the producer deck and the agreement and all that stuff that comes with it. And then they know how to do it for future placements if I'm not involved, you know, with a record.
Got you. How important would you say like producers actually going to like networking events and really putting their face out there? Because I know a lot of people is just, they just in the house, just knocking out beats. Right. But they usually are, I want to say they socially awkward, right? They just, yeah. Yeah. A lot of producers I run across is socially awkward. But nowadays you pretty much got to be the brand. Like these big producers are like the brand, the Murda Beats, the Metro Boomins, the Mike Wills.
Right.
So what advice could you give to those people about the networking aspect of being a producer?
Yeah. And I like to call them bedroom producers because they never leave their crib. They're probably in their drawers and their slippers just to create. Nobody ever sees their face. And I have actually set up interviews for some producers sometimes, and they're so shy. They're like, yo, Sarah, I can't get on camera. I don't know how to do this. I'm an introvert, just like you said. And it's like, they don't want to show their face, but we live in an Instagram world where everybody wants to see what you're doing visually. They want to see who's making these beats and everything. So if you're not marketing yourself as an artist, you're really behind the times because, you know, nobody will ever know that you exist. You're not on the radar. You know what I mean? So that's why I tell producers, like, you need to do vlogs, you need to do photo shoots, you need to get to these iStandard and Illmind different, you know, events. Bricks Academy, he's really doing his thing right now with producers, doing different networking events with him and just getting your name out there, hitting all these studios up, traveling. I mean, it's just not going to happen just staying in the crib, Gmailing all day, like, honestly.
So, like, let me see if I can get to one more of these questions. I guess I think we pretty much got to the ones that I'm like, because it's hundreds of them, but I'm like, these are some really good ones. What are you currently working on right now?
Right now, I'm working on a girl group on Capitol Records. They didn't come out yet, but they're similar to a City Girl, so I need twerk joints. Yeah, I placed 4 records with them, but they need a few more twerk joints. So if anybody out there watching this, make sure that you hit me up on my IG, SJ Manager, or my Twitter, SJ Manager. And my beat email is always in my bio.
Okay. So this is, I feel like Sarah J, I feel like Beat Stars should have been your baby. Like, you familiar with that platform, Beat Stars?
I used to work for PMP. Back in the day, you remember PMP?
Okay. Yeah,
I used to work with them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so because I think I see these emails fly back and forth, like, "Oh, we're looking for placements for this," and I'm like, "This is like Sarah J, the actual platform, Sarah J." Like, I feel like that's what BeatStars is, right? So you working with? So what do you have planned in the next, let's say, 5 years from now? What's Sarah J up to?
Well, I'm working on getting, you know, more producers signed to administration deals. So that's what I also help producers do. If you have relevant placements, I can help you get an admin deal. I'm just currently still doing placements with, you know, everybody working, different artists working. But I don't know where the future of the music is going to go exactly, if it's going to go the TikTok route, if it's going to go more videos, more streaming, or go back to anything older. So I'm just trying to stay current with the times.
What would you say? So like, you got a good ear for music. What's some things you looking for? Like when you get beats from producers, is it stuff that's melodic? Is it you shy away from trap? Is it real hip hop? Is it, or like what would you say is this? I don't want to say safe formula, but what's like your formula that you like, oh, I know that's a hit. Like when I hear a hit make a record, you know, he's flipping these 90 samples and,
right,
you know, heavy 808. What would you say is a good formula that you hear when you listen to the beats?
Definitely melodies are key. Drums, anything hard. I love 808 shit, you guys. Like, I love trap and 808 stuff. It's really my favorite stuff. Honestly, I'm like, well, how do people have weak drums in 2021? There's so many drum kits out here. So I really think melodies and drums are key. Transitions. I love boom bap stuff. I love sample stuff. I like drill stuff. I'm getting a lot of Afro stuff in. I'm getting pop records in. Honestly, I get that question a lot, but it's like, I just love to hear a variety because I know right when I hear something, like who I want to send it to. So
because I wanted to, the reason I asked that is because it's like I know some producers try to do a little bit of every genre, right? They got a little pop catalog. They got an R&B folder. They got a trap folder. Do you think they should lock in on one that they are the best at and not try to navigate, or just should they be just doing a little bit of everything?
Well, I've met some producers that are really good at everything, but then I've met some producers where their R&B is really good, but then their hip hop shit is weak, or vice versa. So it kind of depends, like, how musically inclined you are. Can you play? Are you able to play the keys? Are you able to really flip samples? How seasoned you are as a producer? And that's kind of how I feel like the different genres should go, if, you know, you should master one and not the other, you know, and be all across the board.
I stole those. So, like, let me ask you before we wrap up, what's one piece of advice you could give for any upcoming producer right now in this time where they should put their focus?
Definitely put your focus on mastering your craft and just really developing yourself, you know, not trying to sound like anybody, just developing yourself and just practice patience. You know, a lot of producers get in the game and they start producing, and if they don't see any, you know, results in the first couple months, and they just burn out. So just keep going. Just honestly, consistency is just really important in this game, because the more you're consistent and the more you create and shop the records and you're patient, you build your network, like, you're gonna see some results.
That's dope. Do you think a producer should find an artist to kind of grow with?
Yeah, I do.
Like, I look at being from up north, like, Jahlil and Meek had a really good relationship when Meek was first starting out with
getting
placement. So I see a lot of artists attached to a producer's attached to an artist, and they kind of grow at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's definitely a great way, because just to create that chemistry in a project, you know, like A-Marie and Rich Harrison, or like you said, just a rapper with their producer, and you just create this sound and a niche, and you never know, like, somebody checking out the artist and he gets a deal, and now he wants to bring you along because you were the top, you know, producer, executive producer on that project, and now you have new placements and a new pub deal, you know.
Dope. So I'm gonna ask you one last question. What's your dream versus battle for producers you would like to see? We've seen the Swizz Beatz and Timbaland battle. Who else would you like to see head to head? Producers.
Oh, producer battle?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Okay, let's see. That's a good question. What about, like, it's going to sound wild, but maybe like Southside and Alchemist.
That's a different age gap, but that'll be dope though.
Yeah, they both have like hella hits. Crazy. I don't know.
That's dope. Southside and Alchemist. Wow. I used to love Alchemist's samples, man.
Yeah,
that's dope. Nah, that's good, because I don't see any more producers. Like, I seen the Scott Storch and Manny Fresh. That was like, that's not even fair. Like, they should have put Scott Storch against somebody. Like, and I love Manny Fresh, but he don't have no hit. Scott Storch is on a whole nother level. Like, he got to go against like a Pharrell or something more when you do Scott Storch. But I haven't seen any producer battles, and I'm like, there's a lot of great. Like, I want to see Jermaine Dupri.
Yeah,
versus battle with,
that'd be dope.
I don't even know who he would go up against, but all right, I'm gonna let you go. Thank you, Sarah J. I appreciate your time, man. This is super dope. I'm glad we're able to get you on the Everyday Game Changers. I am your host, Darren McQueen. Definitely subscribe. Check us out on Spotify, iTunes, all your digital platforms, and we will see you on the next episode. Thank you.
Thank you. Take care. Bye bye.
Thanks for listening to the Everyday Game Changers podcast with Barry and McQueen. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. If you enjoyed the show, leave us a review. Follow us on Instagram at Everyday Game Changers or on our official website, www.everydaygamechangers.com.